Manx Radio's update with Lewis Foster.
First of all, good evening and welcome along to Update on Manx Radio. It's 5 o'clock on Monday, the 11th of August. Time for the latest news from the Isle of Man. Coming up over the next half hour, we hear why the number of beds at Ramsey Cottage Hospital is being reduced. A former MHK tells us why he thinks there should be a referendum on net zero. And we also have some breaking news from the National Association of Head Teachers. All of that and more coming up, plus the latest weather and what to watch out for on the roads this evening. As always, let us know your thoughts. Text 166177 or email studio@manxradio.com. We'll start, as always, with the latest headlines with Siobhan Fletcher. Fast am I, Siobhan.
Some breaking news this hour. The National Association of Head Teachers has confirmed that its members on the Isle of Man have voted to take industrial action at the beginning of the new school year. A formal ballot by the school leaders' union opened on Monday the 7th of July and closed today. It says the result follows months of unresolved negotiations with the Department of Education, Sport and Culture over what it describes as the misuse of disciplinary proceedings, disregard of agreed policies and victimisation of union officials. We've of course contacted the department for comment. The number of beds at Ramsey and District Cottage Hospital is being reduced by 30% from 31 to 20. The interim chief officer of the DHSC is Tim O'Neill.
What the 20 or so beds that are currently being used indicates is that the step-down model of moving more patients successfully and safely into the community is beginning to work.
Environmentalists like John Griffiths from the Isle of Man Friends of the Earth are concerned about the impact of discharge from sewage works being released into a tributary of the River Neb.
It should be crystal clear. It's what's known, what the scientists would call it, grey water.
DEFA insists the facility in St John's is operating within its discharge licence limits, but admits the infrastructure is old and can result in more odour than newer sites. And a Freedom of Information request has revealed there's growing interest in bringing the TT to the silver screen. Nine parties have expressed an interest in producing a feature film about the races in the last 3 years. To international news now, and Donald Trump says he's rescuing Washington DC from crime. In a rare move, the US president is bringing in the city's police force under federal control and deploying reserve troops there.
Our capital city has been overtaken by violent gangs and bloodthirsty criminals, roving mobs of wild youth, drugged out maniacs and homeless people. And we're not going to let it happen anymore. We're not going to take it.
Al Jazeera has accused Israel of a blatant and premeditated attack on press freedom after five of its journalists were killed in Gaza. A 16-year-old girl and two boys aged 14 and 15 have been arrested on suspicion of murder after a man died in Kent. And Chad Michael Murray says he never thought a sequel to Freaky Friday would happen.
It seemed like it was finished in a nice, neat little bow. Boy, was I wrong. It's beautiful. I mean, this movie, it might be better than the first one.
Freakier Friday sees much of the original cast return, including Lindsay Lohan and Jamie Lee Curtis. They're your headlines. I'll be back with your news at 6.
Gromayed, thank you, Siobhan. Now, the latest weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. There's fog over at the airport. It's rather cloudy this evening with a risk of an odd shower, but any coastal mist and fog patches will soon clear away, then dry overnight with clear spells developing, the minimum temperature 15 degrees. Tomorrow will then be a fine and dry day with good sunny spells, light winds and becoming very warm or even hot, can you imagine? The maximum temperature around 24 degrees. Then continuing largely dry, settled and warm for the rest of the week. Sunrise tomorrow morning at around 10 to 6 and sunset tonight at 2 minutes before 9.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbra Trading Estate.
TE Cubbon provide new memorial stones, grave renovations, new inscriptions and fire hearths. Visit us at Hope Street, Castletown or at Broadway Douglas or call 844-440. TE Cubbon, here when you need us.
At Bond Fabrics, we're not just a fabric shop. As well as curtains and upholstery and dress and costume fabrics, we've knitting and crocheting wools, made-to-measure curtain and blind service, plus poles and tracks. Visit Strand Street, Douglas, call 611856 or see bondfabrics.in.
Most builders start with a hammer and saw. Manx Construction start with ideas and imagination. For new build, extension or home office, Manx Construction offer full service from planning to completion. Call Tony on 452-688.
If you have children, pets or a house, talk to Peace of Mind about a will or power of attorney, which will help family members when it matters. Prices from £199 plus VAT. Find us on Facebook or call 632 610.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
The time now is 5:05. I'll just bring you an update we've received from the Isle of Man steam packet regarding an incident at Heysham earlier today. The Isle of Man steam packet says it can confirm that today's 8 o'clock departure from the Isle of Man to Heysham aborted its initial approach to Heysham port. The master ordered an aborted approach as the vessel was seen to be out of optimum approach position. This involved a sharp turn to starboard, resulting in the vessel heeling to port. As a result of the manoeuvre, the steam packet says the rolling of the vessel and the rolling of the vessel, a small number of minor injuries have been sustained on board. No emergency service response was required, it says, and this incident will be reported through the appropriate channels, and the Isle of Man steam packet says it will cooperate fully with any resulting investigation should one be deemed necessary. So that was the Manxman's approach to Heysham earlier this morning. I can tell you the Manxman left Heysham shortly after 2:30 this afternoon and is due to arrive into Douglas at 6:20. 5:06 now, you're listening to Update on Manx Radio. The number of beds at Ramsay Cottage Hospital is being reduced by 30%. Manx Care says moving more of its inpatient rehabilitation into the community has resulted in a reduced occupancy and a reconfiguration of the Martin Ward. As a result, the number of beds will be reduced from 31 to 20. Amy Griffiths reports.
The healthcare provider says clinical evidence shows for people with frailty and complex needs, being in hospital is not conducive to recovery and rehabilitation, so it's trying to focus more of its efforts in providing care at home. It says various schemes since its inception in 2021 have led to a reduction in demand for long-term care thanks to effective residential rehabilitation, an increase in timely discharges and home-based recovery, and a reduction in hospital admissions from nursing homes by 65%. The changes to Martin Ward will facilitate two nurses to go on rotation to the frailty unit at Nobles. Manx Care says there will be no redundancies due to this reduction in bed numbers. Health Minister Claire Christian and Interim Chief Officer of the Department of Health and Social Care, Tim O'Neill, were asked about the move on Man in Line earlier today.
My understanding is that the hospital beds was not being utilised to full capacity, and I think it was about at 70% for the majority of the time. So in terms of making the efficiencies, what they're looking at is reducing that down to the 70% being fully operational and making best use of the staff. From what I understand operationally on any procedural closures, as far as I'm aware, there aren't any planned. And in terms of the staffing, which is obviously very important, my understanding is obviously the staff would be repatriated obviously to Nobles, but as I say, it's quite an operational move.
The beds that you're referring to, I'd probably describe them as mothballed rather than closed. So the way the staffing works internally within an environment like that is obviously it's staffed to the capacity that's required, and ironically what the 20 or so beds that are currently being used indicates is that the step down model of moving more patients successfully and safely into the community is beginning to work. But that's certainly not, as far as I'm aware, a kind of read across to the closure of Ramsay Cottage.
Meanwhile, Oliver Radford is the Interim Executive Director of Partnerships, Performance and Improvement at Manx Care. He says this redesign is about getting people back to their lives faster and with less dependency, not about cutting services, but improving them in the right setting. You can find out more about this at manxradio.com.
Amy Griffiths there with that report. It's 5:09 now. And in the last half an hour, the National Association of Head Teachers, the NAHT, has confirmed that its members on the Isle of Man have voted to take industrial action at the beginning of the new school year. Siobhan Fletcher has been taking a look at their statements and joins me now in the studio. Siobhan, what do we know?
Yes, Lewis. So a formal ballot by the School Leaders Union opened on Monday the 7th of July and that closed today. So it says the result follows months of unresolved negotiations with the Department of Education, Sport and Culture over what it describes as the, quote, misuse of disciplinary proceedings, disregard of agreed policies and victimisation of union officials. The NAHC's Assistant General Secretary, Rob Kelsall's, commented. He says, "This is not a step any head teacher wants to take, and it's not a decision that's been taken lightly. It's about standing up for the safety, dignity and fair treatment of members in the face of disgraceful treatment by the Education Department, which may well constitute unlawful conduct." He says the ball is in the Chief Minister's court now to try and resolve this dispute. "We've been in extensive negotiations with the Chief Executive to try and reconcile our differences. However, we remain some distance apart on key aspects of the dispute." He says, "Of course, we remain ready to hold further discussions with the government to resolve these issues, but it must be willing not just to listen, but also to act upon our serious concerns."
So remind us, Siobhan, how did we get to this point of a formal ballot?
Well, the NAHT's Isle of Man executive originally recommended moving to a formal ballot after an indicative electronic poll showed strong support for action amongst its members. That had come after an emergency meeting where union leaders unanimously backed escalation. Back in May, Mr. Kelsall wrote to the government's interim chief executive, that's Mark Lewin, raising a formal collective dispute with the Education Department. They had four critical concerns, it says, underpinning the dispute. They are the victimisation of NAHT members and officials, the repeated breaches of the fairness at work policy, the misuse of disciplinary procedures for teachers, contrary to the principle that such procedures should support professional development rather than impose punitive sanctions, and breaches of the code of conduct for public servants. That includes the failure to model appropriate leadership behaviours.
Has the Education Department offered a response?
So Manx Radio has contacted the DESC. We're awaiting their official response, but they have previously told us that they completely refute claims that it's breached those employment policies and professional standards, and that its priority was working constructively with the union to resolve the dispute and avoid any disruption to students, parents and schools. Like I say, we're awaiting a fresh comment on this result. We've also approached the NAHT for further comment. We've been told they won't be commenting further at this stage.
Siobhan Fletcher there, Guru Mayad. Thank you for joining us, and you can find all that information over at manxradio.com.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
At the time now, 12 minutes past five, a former MHK is calling for a public referendum into government's climate change targets. Ex-Douglas South representative Paul Quine believes a vote should take place alongside next year's House of Keys general election. In 2022, government committed to cutting greenhouse gas emissions by 35% by 2030 and reaching net zero by 2050. Mr. Quine told me that he believes the cost of achieving net zero needs the consent of the island's residents.
Well, I think it's one of the most costly issues of our time. I mean, even a conservative value would put it at around about £100 million for something which, in fairness, is something that's going to fall hardest and most brutal on those who are least able to afford it. I mean, you know, if we look at the current tariffs on electricity, you know, they're high, and people are, you know, struggling with their everyday commodities, cost of living, etc. So I think the island sort of looking for basically a blank cheque for at least £100 million from the taxpayer. I think it's something that the Manx people need to be asked if they're willing to sign up for.
One of government's headline targets at the minute is to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 35% by 2030. Now, 2026 will be close to that target, of course, just 4 years away. Is it an apt time to be re-looking at this? Or, you know, will people say, well, we've made it this far, there's no real point in holding a referendum?
No, I think we need to put the brakes on this, to be honest, Lewis. I think this current administration has driven us up to the cliff edge. And I think the next administration certainly has the ability to drive us over the cliff edge. I mean, what we're talking about is something. You know, the UK generates less than 1% of the world's CO2 emissions. The Isle of Man generates an amount that can't even be measured. So what effectively we've been asked to do is commit over £100 million to reduce something that is so small in the first place that you can't even quantify it.
Was this a big issue when you stood?
It wasn't a big issue. I don't think it was something that was at the forefront of most people's minds. But as the duration of this parliament has gone on, then I think it's something that certainly has now come back into the public consciousness.
That's Paul Quine there, ex-Douglas South MHK, and Manx Radio has invited the Isle of Man government to respond. Environmentalists are concerned about the impact of discharge from sewage works being released into a tributary of the River Neb. John Griffiths from the Isle of Man Friends of the Earth says grey water from nearby sewage works could be having an impact on the quality of bathing water where the river enters the sea in Peel. Our John Moss went down to St John's to speak with Mr Griffiths about what's lurking in the water.
There's a pipe across there. Now, first of all, where does that pipe come from?
It comes from the sewage treatment plant on the other side of the river.
We can see it over there. It's a sort of concrete block of a thing.
One of the holding tanks, yeah, no.
And that's been there, presumably, for decades.
Decades, yeah.
Now, just looking at the pipe, what's coming out of it, I can see for myself that a third of the river flowing down the Neb is grey. So what's in there?
Well, it's the effluent from the treatment plant. It should be crystal clear. As you say, it's what's known, what the scientists would call it, grey water. It probably contains high levels of faecal coliform, salmonella, and all the sorts of nasties that you get in sewage effluent.
How long does it take to dilute in the river? I mean, what state is it when it gets, say, down to the sea?
Probably from here, two and a half hours, it's going to be in the marina. And, of course, depending on where the flapgate is, it either flows straight out into the bay or accumulates in the marina, then flows out into the bay, where it may be impacting on the bathing water standards of Peel. The plant is operated by Manx Utilities, and they have what is known as a consent to discharge, and that sets the standards for the effluent they're putting into the river. They are supposed to test it. And the other thing, of course, at the moment, St John's School is closed, so the pollution load coming into the treatment plant will be lower than what it would be, say, during the school year. Yeah, this has been reported several times in the last few years. It has to be a phased programme sewage treatment, as we've seen with the various projects that's gone on. But there's no reason why, as we say, the amount going into the treatment plant couldn't be reduced by tankering it away and disposing of it at a proper source.
John Griffiths there from Isle of Man Friends of the Earth. And in response, the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture says we have investigated and found the sewage treatment works at St John's to be operating within its discharge licence limits, with no evidence of pollution downstream of the site. We took samples, they say, from the discharge point as well as upstream and downstream. MUA have also carried out additional inspections and identified no issues with the works operations, with their routine samples also satisfactory. The infrastructure at St John's, it says, is an older filter bed system which do tend to have more odour issues due to the nature of the treatment process, especially in warm weather.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Delightful. Let's head over to the roads. In Douglas, the traffic light system at St Ninian's Crossroads is being replaced. So temporary lights are currently replacing the main lights and all filter lanes are out of operation. And temporary lights on Woodburn Road as well for bus stop improvement works there. Near Foxdale, temporary lights on the shoulder road at South Barool Plantation, 24 hours a day for tree works. In Colby, the Ballochill Ferrick Road is closed for service access work. And in Mackled, the Hibernia Road is closed for wall repairs. A couple of delays to the upcoming Dublin and Liverpool flights over at the airport. The Met Office, as we heard before, is reporting fog at Ronald's Way, so keep an eye on that. On the sailings, Manxman left Heysham shortly after 2:30. It's due to arrive into Douglas at 20 past 6. Roughly the same time Mananan will arrive into Liverpool.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
And it's 19 minutes past five now. A new campaign's being launched today to highlight how local communities can help support families who are breastfeeding. Sustaining Breastfeeding Together launches in parallel with World Breastfeeding Week, but will run until the end of August. Simon Richardson has been speaking to Reagan Bagley, the head of midwifery at Manx Care.
Currently, our breastfeeding rates for babies that are breastfed exclusively at 6 to 8 weeks are running around 48.6%. I know on Ireland, we are working very closely with public health and we would like to increase these rates up to around 70% if we can, over them to ensure that women exclusively breastfeed for possibly longer than that and up to 6 months.
And what are the benefits of breastfeeding over formula milk?
Many benefits, both to the baby and to the mum. So for infants, it can provide obviously essential nutrients. It can strengthen immunity, support child development, and it also really strong helps bonding and connection with an emotional bond between the parent and child. For the mothers, there's many health benefits, such as lowering certain cancers, such as ovarian, and also strengthens bones, and also it helps that maternal child emotional benefit that I spoke about earlier.
So lots of benefits, but there are of course lots of mums who are not able to breastfeed for a number of reasons. How will you make sure that, you know, they're not made to feel guilty, if you like, for not being able to breastfeed their child?
Absolutely, and we're there to support every mother and support any choice that they make along their feeding journey. Nobody should be made to feel any particular way about any of the choices they make, and all of our professionals are supportive of any decisions that mums make, and we will support them in any other choices with their infant feeding journey, as will our infant feeding team.
That was Regan Bagley there speaking to Simon Richardson. We'll take a look at sport now. And after a tough campaign last time out, Vagabonds Rugby Club says it's relishing the challenge of competing in Counties 3 ADM Lancashire/Cheshire again for the 25-26 season. Player Daniel Bonwick and coach Franzi Gamicious say they're both excited about the potential the squad has for the future.
One that stepped up last season has really grown into their role over the season. Like, we've had some really standout young lads that have come in, really stepped forward and made themselves part of that unit that we have, made them join the core of the squad. They've all stepped up at pre-season this year. We're not going into so much of an unknown again. It's more of a, we know who we're going to, we know this is how they play, so hopefully we can come into the season a lot stronger and not worry about what we're going to and step forward and enjoy the challenge.
Franzi, coming back to you, how did you all find adjusting to last season given the quality of teams you were coming up against?
It was very tough because, as you know, the previous season we came third, which for us was a very, very good achievement. And for the development of the squad, it probably would have been good to play in a similar kind of league rather than going up. But the toughness of the league showed, but we really stuck with it. The senior players really helped develop the young boys to come through. We're really looking forward to having some knowledge on some of these teams already.
What would you like to see the squad and club as a whole building on?
So our first and most important thing for this season is to improve on our standing in the league. We're so looking forward to this season in getting better and fitter and stronger.
And Daniel, you're going to be joined by Ramsey in the league this year as well. They're returning to the English leagues for the first time in 5 years as well. So how exciting a prospect is that?
I love that. I can't wait for the Manx derby. It's familiar faces. You almost know what they're going to bring to the table. They're all a great bunch of lads, so we know we're in for a physical game when we go up to Ramsey in the league. So obviously I've come from there before in my previous years of playing, know what they're all about, know that they're going to turn up and give us a really good game of rugby. So I can't wait for that. Really looking forward to it.
Vagabonds begin their season on Saturday, the 6th of September, away at Burnley. Meanwhile, FC Isle of Man's search for a first win of the season continues after a narrow 3-2 loss to Glossop North End in the NWCFL Premier Division on Saturday. The Ravens are now winless in their opening three matches. Manager Paul Jones says it was a disappointing result, but believes there are positives to be taken.
There were some very good opportunities in both halves through good play and the play that we're looking to do that we probably should have capitalised on a little bit more. So, you know, if you look, think back to the game against Litherland here where we didn't create a huge amount and just sat in as a block. Like, today was very different and we had the ball more, and yes, we could have been better with it, but there's a big change in 10 days and a big improvement in 10 days, and we just need to keep pushing and improve again Tuesday and then keep going game to game.
Yeah, looking forward now, of course, you've got a long run of away games right up until the 30th of August as well. So what do you say or do to lift the players after a frustrating result like that, going into what is quite a long streak of away games?
Yeah, I think the away games suit us at times. It means we get together and maybe less expectation, and people can just kind of go and play and grind it out, which is what we'll need to do. I think it's good for the group to get away together and spend a bit of time together. So we actually look forward to it at this time of year, I think. But they're disappointed and down, as you would be when you lose a game of football, but my job is to keep them focused and keep them positive and keep them like working on the things we're asking them to do. And you know, it's a long old season, we've only played three games I think after 10 games last year we'd only won two or three games. Like, we had a a reasonably good start, but then didn't do particularly well and lost a lot of games before mid-September when we started winning. So, you know, it's a work in progress. Yes, we know we need to make sure we're getting points on the board sooner rather than later, but I'd rather it this way round and build and build and build into it and then get into winning rather than win the first three or four games and then not win for the next 15. Like, that's no good to anybody either, is it?
Paul Jones there speaking to our Rob Pritchard, who joins me in the studio now with the latest sporting news. Faster my Rob.
Faster my Lewis. First off, Manx footballer Freddie O'Donoghue has signed his first professional contract with Carlisle United. The former Peel player has put pen to paper after making his first team debut at the Cumbrian outfit last season. Now the 18-year-old will join Scottish side Queen of the South on loan until January 2026. O'Donoghue first joined the Blues Academy in March 2023 at the age of 16. Elsewhere, local endurance athlete Chris Kane and visiting competitor Stephen Campbell were among the top displays at the 2025 Isle of Man Marathon and Half Marathons in the north of the island yesterday. In a busy half marathon field of more than 500 participants, Campbell of Liverpool Harriers and AC took the men's earned overall victory in a time of 1 hour 14 minutes and 45 seconds. Finishing second overall on the way to winning the women's race was Kane, who set a new women's course record and personal best of 1 hour 15 minutes and 16 seconds. Taking place at the same time as the full marathon event, which saw Samuel Jones of Manx Fell Runners take top spot overall and in the men's race, crossing the line in 2 hours 41 minutes and 30 seconds. Fellow Manx Fell Runners competitor Catherine Cubbon won the women's marathon competition in 3 hours 33 minutes and 28 seconds. And finally, Isle of Man triathlete Will Draper put in an improved display during his second wildcard appearance on the T100 Triathlon World Tour last weekend. The Manxman managed an 11th place finish in the men's race on round 4 of the series in London on Saturday the 9th of August, picking up 10 more series points in the process. It's a step up from his showing at the previous stage in Vancouver in Canada in June, where he crossed the line in 15th.
Guru Mayed, thank you, Rob Pritchard there. That's it for Update Tonight. Phil Gorn is here next with Agenda, and Chris Kinley will be here at 6 o'clock with Greatest Hits. Remember, you can listen back to tonight's programme as a podcast. If there's anything you've missed, it will be available shortly over at manxradio.com. In the meantime, have a great evening, and Update will be back at the same time tomorrow.